Welcome to Marketing with Confidence. I'm your host, Marianne Ames. We're going to be talking all things digital and online marketing for business owners and marketing professionals. If you've been feeling overwhelmed by your digital marketing, be sure to listen along and you'll hear tips, interviews, and more that will give you the confidence to create marketing you love. Welcome to another episode of Marketing with Confidence. I'm Marianne. I have just come away this morning from a Sydney networking event called the Business Builders Breakfast. It's an event that I launched today with my accountant, Emma, from the accounting division. So we ran this event as a joint event between Wise Up Marketing and the accounting division. And we had 50 people come, small business owners, and it was a fantastic event. And while I was there sharing, I guess, expertise on maximizing digital marketing during hard times, and Emma really focusing in on 7 ways to grow your business, I thought to myself, I'd love to come away and record a podcast episode to bring all you, my favorite listeners, in on what those tips were and what we spoke about today. So this episode is going to be a little bit of a wrap-up of this morning's breakfast and the sorts of things that we talked about at that breakfast. So to kick off, I guess I opened by talking about, you know, especially here in Australia, the difficult times that we've been through. And I mean, it's probably common all around the world, but I'm most familiar with the Australian market. And, you know, we came out of COVID really, I guess, expecting that things would start to recover. And we came out of lockdowns thinking that everything was going back to normal. And then we were sort of hit with the eye of the storm of recession. Are we going into a recession? What other countries are in a recession? What does it mean? When is it coming? And then our consumer, you know, started to get really pinched with the cost of living. Everything has gone up. Interest rates have gone up. And, you know, for businesses, that means there has been a contraction in spending from the consumer, which then flows on to business-to-business transactions as businesses look to, you know, cut costs and reduce overheads. So we've kind of been in this really difficult time or challenging time, especially from sentiment, whether it was the reality in your business that things were starting to decline or certainly just that fear of uncertainty was around. And they shared a statistic today from Roy Morgan Business Confidence that said in February of 2024, 51.3% of business owners felt like the next 12 months was going to be a great time to invest in their business. Now, 51%, you know, it's just a tip into positive sentiment. But why it's so interesting is actually the first time in 2 years that it has been a positive statistic. So I think that that shows us that, you know, over the last 2 years, we've really worried about what is happening in the economy and what is happening for our consumers, for our clients. But now we're starting to feel that little sense of recovery. I'm sure across the last 2 years, you've seen people talk about, you know, the businesses that do best are the ones that continue to market during hard times. And that's not always possible, you know, to keep marketing when things are tough, when revenue is down. And if you haven't, you know, see this as a great opportunity as the market is rebuilding to really start marketing now as well. Funnily enough, another stat I shared is that 86% of small businesses spend less than 3 hours per week on digital marketing. So digital marketing is still largely untapped. So, you know, there's a real opportunity for you to bring a strategy together, which is what I'm going to talk about today, start to utilize digital channels in your business and actually, you know, buck that trend and be one of the small businesses that are leveraging the capability of digital marketing to have a, you know, a low cost or a reasonably cost efficient way to get in front of your ideal client. I talked about, I guess, the reputation that digital marketing has. And I've had a really long marketing career. So I've been in marketing pretty much since 1999, showing my age. And I opened, I started as a freelance digital marketer that then sort of flowed into creating my agency back in 2010. So this is kind of my 14th year in digital, but I had a fairly substantial corporate marketing career before that. And what I found with digital marketing, and especially through that lens of social media marketing, is this kind of lack of respect or taking it seriously. I have so many conversations where clients tell me that they're, you know, their friend's daughter in high school manages their social media for their business, or that their cousin built their website and, you know, he's gone back to full-time work now, so it hasn't been changed in 2 years. Digital marketing, social media, your website, your blog, all of those assets, email marketing, they are, you know, number one, they're the most effective way to market to your target market in, you know, in this decade. But number two, they are the critical marketing touch points for your business. We had such respect we took, you know, traditional marketing so seriously, newspapers, TV, radio, magazine. I worked in those mediums for so long, and I can tell you a newspaper ad did not go out without being seen by, you know, the most senior people of the organization. Even when I was at the head of marketing, I still had to go and get it signed off from the GM. And now we have social media, and we're letting sometimes teenagers or the most junior person in our organization have free reign of what that is. But at the end of the day, it's all marketing. And I really want to, I guess, expand your mindset that it's not about digital marketing. It's really about marketing. And digital is merely an execution or a platform that we can choose to use in our marketing mix. But we really need to take all of the marketing that's available to us, or the whole mix that is right for our business, and treat it as the, you know, the opportunity it really is to get in front of our, you know, ideal client and really sell our business and, you know, increase inquiry, increase awareness, increase leads and sales, and really maximize it. So I talked about strategy, and I see that, you know, the foundations of strategy across all types of marketing, and, you know, the digital side is really your tactics. You know, you don't necessarily need a digital marketing strategy. You need a marketing strategy. And within that, you can identify what you're going to do digitally, and then if relevant, what you're going to do that's not digitally. So when you come to setting your strategy, classic, define your goals. So look at what your marketing needs to achieve. And that's born from also looking at the problems or the challenges for your organization. You know, is it that you've launched a product and it's not getting traction? So then what's your marketing goal around that? Or is it that you simply have low awareness because you haven't marketed for a while? So what's your marketing goal around that? Once you've set your goals, it's really important to spend time in your target market as well. I spoke a lot this morning about target market. You know, I see it as the beautiful intersection of your expertise and a group's needs that you can meet, and their needs and their wants. So when you are very, very clear of who you can serve, who you can bring the most value to, you're then ready to look at what tactics you need. Until you understand who you're marketing to, you can't decide if TikTok's right for you or if LinkedIn is where you should be spending your time. So I talked about, you know, marketing channel selection and not leaving that up to public opinion. Just because someone at a barbecue tells you that, you know, Facebook is dead, doesn't mean it's dead for your target market. And when you understand your target market and where they're showing up, then you can understand what channel mix you might need. And again, those channels might involve email, or they might involve SEO or web or print or direct mail, brochures, flyers, so many different things. But that mix really comes from looking at your goals, looking at your target market and where they are, and then looking at the tactics available and what you're going to do. And then finally, when it came to strategy, I talked about creating success indicators. So having clear, measurable goals or indicators in place so that as you test and learn and optimize your marketing, you're going to know how you're performing and be able to track that. I talked about retention marketing. I actually talked about this a lot, and it mirrored a lot of Emma's presentation about growing your business. And she actually did an amazing financial breakdown of how you can, you know, double your profit by working on retention, even when other, you know, other metrics may be down. So if you can hold on to your client for longer and you can find ways to increase their transactions with you or increase their average cart value with you, how that can actually grow your business, even if conversion of new clients are down. And I spoke about different strategies with retention marketing, and I have a podcast on this from a few months ago. So I really encourage you to go and listen to it. But what I basically talked about was what I'd outlined in that podcast episode. So I think it was about 7 or 8 tips for retaining your current customers, for getting more out of your current customers, how to increase your referrals, how to increase repeat purchase and those sorts of things. Because your current customer already knows you. You don't need to sell to them again. They already trust you. And the amount of money we spend trying to get a new customer to be aware of us, to consider us, to trial us, is so much more expensive than the amount we need to invest in actually showing our current clients love and nurturing them and getting them feel motivated to, you know, do more work with us or stay with us for longer. So go and check out that episode if you haven't listened to it before. I then switched up and started talking about acquisition marketing. So talking about bringing those new clients in. So obviously, you know, doing all that work with our current clients is critical to aid retention. But at the end of the day, an analogy I shared was about the leaky bucket. No matter how well your business is going, there's always going to be some clients leaking out the bottom. So what we need to do is have strategies in place to continually be topping our bucket up. So acquisition marketing is how we keep our bucket topped up, even though, you know, we might be losing a client here and there. So I talked about social media, and I talked about how much Australians love social media. So 79% of Australians are active on social media, but only 50% of small business owners are effectively leveraging it. So social media is still a huge area of opportunity for you to strategically market to your ideal client. And that means taking control of your social media, you know, working with somebody on a strategy that's really solid if you are going to try to outsource it to someone quite junior. Or if you've got the budget, outsourcing it to a professional team that can actually strategically develop, maintain, and optimize your organic social media. I shared my simple secrets to success on social media. And if you've listened to lots of my podcast episodes, I'm sure you've heard these tips before. I talked about being personal, that as small business owners, we are the USP, the unique selling proposition of our businesses. We need to step in front of that camera, as painful as it is, as intimidating as it can be. The more personal you can get with your audience, the more they see your face, the more convinced they're going to be to transact with you. And if it's really just not possible for your business type, how can video testimonials or content creators, you know, help to fill that gap? I talked about being consistent and how consistency always pays off over time. Having a critical mass of quality content that goes out that makes sure that your audience can continue to engage with you so they continue to see you. When your audience doesn't see your content, and that happens over a period of time, you fall deeper and deeper down in the priority of content they see until they eventually don't see you at all. And the most opportunity is when they first follow you as well. So depending on what actions they take with you once they first follow you will determine how long you sort of stay in their feed for. So if you're posting once a week or once a month, you're not really giving yourself a chance to be engaged with and to stay top of feed. I also talked about building connections because social media is meant to be social, right? So getting on your socials and replying to comments, replying to DMs, but then actually having genuine engagement with other people's accounts, you know, cheering other people on, commenting on other things, having real discussions on LinkedIn, on other people's content that they're posting that, you know, lets you showcase your expertise, but also supports them in what they're building as well. And that social element of social media will help you to get more amplification of your content. I went through paid ads really quickly and I talked about how, you know, sometimes business owners begrudge ads and feel like, you know, all the platforms are out to, you know, get our money. And I think what you need to remember is there has never been such a cost-effective opportunity for advertising to a specific target market than what ads has, you know, digital ads, I should say, have brought to us. You know, you think about radio, TV, all those other ad formats we used to use. They were insanely expensive and not accessible to small business. And we also had no idea who was engaging with them. And rarely could we really determine what they do. So, you know, we used to look at uplift surveys or, you know, if we had a newspaper ad go out, did we then get more sales? And we would draw these long bows as to what worked and what didn't. Whereas now, you know, we can look at data and to some degree, obviously, as privacy laws have changed and the data that we collect is different, we can't see it all. But to some degree, we can get a feel for what is selling, what is converting, who it's converting with, and what that looks like. I also sort of spoke about a quote that says it's important to remember your competitor is only one mouse click away. So if you're not investing in ads and your competitors are, they're going to get that share of voice. They're going to get that conversion. And it's really important that you think about that. I talked about the difference between Meta or social ads and Google ads, in my opinion. And for me, social ads are really about, I didn't know I needed this, but now I do and I have to have it. So discovery, the unknown, looking at your target market and targeting them, disrupting their social media feed, getting priority in that feed when they don't follow you or even if they do, so that they become aware of you or, you know, actually see your product or see your service and have an opportunity to convert. And then Google ads are very much, you know, this is exactly what I was looking for and now I'm ready to buy. So we know when people are Googling, they're ready. They're either in the research stage or they're, you know, they're ready to buy. It's when we're Googling, you know, black dress, 48-hour delivery, because we need it now. So having Google ads, you know, that connect with people at that right time of purchase are going to be a great way to, you know, capture that share of voice and convert that client. I talked about the opportunity of Google My Business, and I actually labeled this my number one quick win of the day. If you don't have a Google My Business profile or a Google Business profile, I encourage you to do, because 60% of the consumers are going to Google to look at reviews, and those reviews mean a lot to them. But half of small businesses haven't actually claimed their profile. So if you have, you know, a business and you have social media, there is no reason why you shouldn't have a Google business profile as well. In some ways, it's like a social media profile, but we don't necessarily need to post to it all the time. But we have our business name. We can use keywords. If you have a location, you can put that location on the map. If not, you can put a service area. You can put photos and video, and then you can gather reviews. So you can ask your clients to go there and leave reviews, which builds your credibility and builds your reputation when people go to search for you. And map listings, so Google business profiles, they come under the map when people search. They often rank before the text base or the website-driven searches. And if we're on the go, it's even more important. If you're a bricks and mortar, and I'm on the go Googling something, you know, that business profile is going to ping when I'm nearby that location. So if you've got a business that gets the classic, you know, near me searches, physio near me, hairdresser near me, a cafe near me, you want to be on that Google map because you are going to rank. So if you don't have it, I encourage you today to rush off and do that. And then I talked about email marketing, and I didn't put it under acquisition or retention. I said that email marketing has the beauty of being both. Email marketing is a great way to engage and retain our current clients, but it's also a fantastic way to nurture our potential clients on, you know, on a pathway to conversion. I had this great quote from David Newman that is, email has an ability many channels don't, creating valuable personal touches at scale. And I think the difference with email or why emails come back into favor is that algorithms on social media mean that people don't necessarily see our content. But when we see it, send an email, we can guarantee for a moment in time, we will be seen by that ideal client. We'll be seen by that person that's allowed us to email them. So yes, it may go to the junk folder, but our email will land somewhere in that inbox and they will engage with us if they're ready, or if not, it's another touch point, another reminder that we're there. I think, you know, your email database that you build is an asset of your company. Nobody can take that. You know, if Instagram closes down, you lose all those connections and you don't know who those people are. And, you know, the same for LinkedIn. Your email database is the permission somebody else has given you to continue a relationship with them. And that is so powerful. And you can control what it looks like. You can control when, you know, it goes out. You can control the format, all these sorts of things that, again, within social media, we're at the mercy of the platforms and what they decide. I went through my four most loved email formats. So first being monthly or seasonal update, I don't think there's a business that I don't recommend this for. An update from your company, updates from your brand, talking about what's going on, talking about what's going on in your industry, seasonal changes, you know, especially B2C, you know, what your consumer might be looking for in a certain season. It's just creating an email that is so valuable to your ideal client that they look forward to it. I get some emails, especially from two of my amazing design friends. So Kylie Hannaford from Three Blocks Left and Beck Hughes from Beck Hughes, both designers, put out the most amazing email, and I look forward to it. I look forward to receiving it and reading what they've pulled together, and that's what a great regular email does, and it keeps you top of mind as well. The other email type is around that new news and promotions. So obviously, you know, part of building our email database is we want the opportunity to promote when it makes sense to promote. So having that, you know, we're launching this or this is coming soon, or we have this special offer on, those sorts of emails are a great way, again, to guarantee getting in front of your target audience, getting in front of the people that have given you permission to email them and letting them know how they can transact. I also talked about key sales period emails and more from an e-com lens. If you have an e-com business, it is actually surprising how many emails you can send during Black Friday, after payday, these sorts of times, and a high volume send that will convert well fairly consistently. So I've seen this in a lot of client accounts that we work on where, you know, we might be sending an email every day for 4 days. And traditionally, I would think, oh, it's too many. Like, you're going to get so many unsubscribes. But what we actually see is consistent revenue. You know, the first email usually does the best, and the last 24 hours warning does pretty, you know, pretty much second. But in between, each email picks up revenue and the unsubscribe rate is not higher than normal. So, you know, I think there's that just being in the right place at the right time and looking at when it makes sense to high volume send your database for short periods of time that, you know, pays off in revenue. And the last type of email I talked about is where I see the trend going of email in the future, and that's hyper personalization and segmentation. So as AI supports us, I think we're going to be able to segment our database very, very at a very granular level and really hyper personalize emails. You know, imagine emails that say, hey, here's what's trending now in size 8 sandals when I'm a size 8. Or if I love blue linen dresses, you know, navy linen dresses, I get an email that says, hey, here's our latest drop of navy linen, but you get one that says, here's our latest drop of white linen because you always buy white. So that hyper-personalization, although we're sending at scale through segmentation and some of that AI support that we'll start to see through those email marketing platforms, I think that's where email marketing is really going to get its legs even further and really compete as a valuable digital channel as well for businesses. I then wrapped up with the takeaway, and I kind of borrowed this one from James Clear from Atomic Habits, and it's the power of tiny gains. If you're 1% better every day, you'll exponentially grow in a year. And if you do nothing, you'll stay the same. If you're 1% worse every day, you actually won't decline as much as if you just do, you know, 1% better every day. And what I challenged everyone to do, and I challenge you to do the same today, is just take one thing. You know, every time you listen to a podcast, every time you go to a networking event and hear a speaker speak, just take one thing and implement it. You know, give yourself 2 weeks to implement it and then do one thing more after that. And you know, so on. If you can listen to something and get 3 takeaways and it takes you 6 months to put them in place, you're still going to be growing and getting better. So really, I love that. I love the thought that there's something today that you can take away and implement immediately. Obviously, I ran through what was a much bigger presentation this morning, but I thought you might enjoy it as well. If you have questions, if there's something I've touched on that you'd love more details of, please let me know. And I'd love to hear your feedback. And if you're in Sydney, I'd love to have you at one of our networking breakfasts. You can learn more about those at businessbuildersbreakfast.com.au or otherwise just DM me anytime for the next date. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Hey, thanks for listening to another episode. If you don't want to miss one, make sure you subscribe to the show in your podcast app. And if you love it, be sure to share it with friends and colleagues who you think could benefit from increasing their digital marketing confidence. Want more? Head to marianneamies.com to find out how you can work with me directly, to reach out to have me speak at your event, or to grab yourself some free resources.